Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a CatSource family production. In this episode, we discuss podcasting, putting yourself out there, and Tom Brady. Our guest today is Michael Elkins. Michael is a labor law attorney for Bryant Miller Olive in Miami, Florida, and a co-host of the Game 7 podcast. The Game 7 podcast explores the intersection between sports, business, and lifestyle through interviewing some of the most successful people in their industry. Mike hosts his podcast with former New England Patriot and current entrepreneur Ellis Hobbs. The takeaway theme of this episode is why someone in a professional services business would start a podcast. And with that in mind, let's get right into this episode and welcome Michael Elkins. Mike, let's start this thing off with Tom Brady. Tell me, is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback ever?
Is that even in dispute?
Well, I mean, it might be for some people.
Yeah, I mean, trying to put my objective hat on, it's no secret that I'm a huge Pats fan, Brady, Belichick. But if you try to strip the fandom away and you're just going to be objective, I mean, if you look at numbers, just numbers, he's got every playoff record, every Super Bowl record, most Super Bowl wins of all time. And I understand conceptually it's a team game. However, you have to factor in he won his first Super Bowl in 01 and his last Super Bowl in 17. So he's the only guy left. He's the only common denominator other than Belichick. I don't know how anyone could categorize anybody else as the greatest of all time. I mean, it would be, to me, it doesn't make intellectual sense.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? You talked about, like, you could be biased. So I've felt this way for a while. You can be biased, but also still be correct, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So just because you are a Patriots fan and a part of the Tom Brady fan club doesn't make you wrong. Now, there's a chance you could be wrong.
Right.
Or if someone's a fan of a team, they could be wrong, but they also, just because they are a fan and just because they like it and they are biased, doesn't mean that their information is incorrect. And actually, you probably have a lot of information because you have followed him very closely and you followed sports. You've seen Marino, you've seen Elway, you've seen Montana, you've seen other guys that could be considered in that category. So I'm not a fan of Brady, but I respect, we've talked about this before. I mean, I just can only respect it. You know, I'm a Bills fan, and it's laughable what Buffalo's doing. And then you just watch the Patriots, and it's almost like the regular season for them is their preseason as they finish out their roster because they know where they're going.
And I think for me, it's not the Super Bowls that matter most, although that's pretty incredible that he's been to 8 of them, which, by the way, is over, I think, around 15% of all Super Bowls played Brady's been in, which is absurd. But it's the consistent trips to the AFC Championship game. I think they're on either 7 or 8 years in a row in that game. That type of consistency, and then when you factor in that it's in a league that is designed rules-wise to prevent that. That's not supposed to happen based on how the league is set up. And then you have to look at what's he been doing this with. And everyone will say, well, he had Randy Moss and Wes Welker. He didn't win any Super Bowls with those guys. And people kind of look at me weird when I say that. I'm like, he didn't. He almost did. But you still have to factor in, like, they had an 18-0 season. You know, that's crazy. I know they didn't win the Super Bowl, but that's still an insane thing to do. I just don't see, if you're looking at numbers objectively, how he can't be. People always make the argument, well, Montana never lost one. Yeah, but okay, he got to 4, but Brady's been to 8. So that means Montana got booted in the playoffs a lot more than Brady ever did. So I just don't see it.
Yeah, no, and that point you just made about Montana, I mean, that's a tough argument, that you create for that. I was at the game. He was in Kansas City, actually, at the time, and it was AFC Championship, and the Bills. I think that was Montana's last game when Cornelius Bennett and Bruce Smith met him in the backfield, and that was it.
and Montana was, and the other part with Brady, you go to Montana, you go to Aaron Rodgers, they all get hurt. Other than the ACL in 08, Brady's never missed a game. Never for anything. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah, I remember the day when he got hurt. They played the Chiefs, right? And I'm in the stadium, the Bills stadium, for their home opener, and the Bills are going to win their first game, and then the news starts to spread. Now, you know, no one's rooting for injuries, But the Bills have been like long suffering. It's like it's time. The Patriots move aside. He's out for the season, and Bills fans are thinking this is our year. I don't know what the Bills ended that year. Probably 5-11, 6-10, something like that. And the Patriots ended up. Catsell comes in right. Almost, they should have made the playoffs that year. I don't know how they didn't. And they what was their final record?
They were 11-5. They were tied in record with the Dolphins, but they lost on the third tiebreaker.
Isn't that crazy?
That's like one of the only 11-5 teams ever to not make the
playoffs. It's absurd that they didn't make it, but that's just and we'll get in maybe a little bit at the end here to the Patriots and all that. So and you love sports, and obviously we can sit here and just talk about sports all day. And I find it fascinating because here you are as an attorney in the state of Florida, and you have a podcast. You've had podcasts. You talk about sports. You create content on social media. It's different than what you expect to hear. Now, it's becoming a little bit more normal, but it's still very early, I think, in that game to have this successful attorney, because I'm like, hey, Mike, I want to have you on our podcast. You were on our podcast earlier. I want to have you on our podcast again. When can you do it? And you respond back to me, and you're like, man, let's do it. I'm in. I am working on this federal court case right now, so it's going to take some time. And here you are, though, making time for a podcast while you're working on very significant court cases. Talk to me about like your idea, because here we are talking about sports, about creating a podcast about something that you're passionate about, something that you believe in, and how it actually can help you and your business succeed.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And it really started out of just wanting to tell the world some of the things I thought about sports. And I just talked to a friend of mine and I said, we should, you know, do a podcast together. Because he and I would argue about stuff all the time. And I was like, let's just put this on the air. How hard could it be? I really didn't give it much thought at all. I just figured, let's do a podcast. That would be kind of fun. And I had no idea what to do. I thought, again, difficult. And then I quickly learned, okay, there's a lot. There's a lot you need to do a podcast. It's not quite as easy as I thought. But I figured it'd be a good thing to do. And then it kind of morphed over time. I got much more serious about it when I realized people were much more interested in the podcast than they were about anything else I was doing. And I started to see some connection between my law practice and the podcast. Even though the topics don't connect, people wanted to talk to me about the podcast, and that would lead to talking about practicing law or any of the other things that I do. So as I got more serious about it, recently I, you know, rebranded and redid the podcast to start talking about sports, the intersection kind of between sports, business, and life. Acquired, you know, my co-host is Ellis Hobbs, who played for the Patriots. And it sort of is a natural, I don't want to call it a marketing tool, but for lack of a better word, that's what I'll use. And I mean, I have clients. I had a client recently, for one of my big clients, just emailed me and said, love the podcast, can't wait to listen. Let's talk about this other thing that's going on in our case. It's a great conversation starter, and I think it's great for potential clients and current clients to hear their lawyer speaking and putting themselves out there and not, going crazy, if that makes any sense.
It does. And there's two little things that you mentioned I want to touch on here. So you start this podcast and people want to talk to you about it. They might not want to talk about the legal side of things. They want to talk about the podcast, or they want to talk about your opinions of Tom Brady, or they want to talk about whatever, the intersection of sports and life and business and all that.
Yeah.
Was there another side of it, though, where people were coming in and maybe they weren't saying it, but you hear the chatter. What is this guy up to? What is he doing? This is a waste of time. Did you hear any of that?
I didn't hear it directly. I mean, look, I have a large group of friends down here and they're the best. They're like my family. So we make fun of each other for everything. It doesn't matter. You know, we've kind of always joked that you could save, you know, 8 little baby kittens from a burning building and we'd rag on you. And so you only did that for the publicity. You don't care. You don't care about the animals. So there was definitely some stuff there, but I never took any of that seriously, because if my friends aren't making fun of me, then they don't care. That said, I do think behind the scenes, when I first started, people were like, what is the point of this? Nobody cares what this guy has to say. And this isn't going to go anywhere. This is a waste of time and no one's ever going to pay attention. And that's fine. That was never said directly to me, but I felt an undercurrent of that, not in necessarily my friend group, but maybe some external people like in the periphery. And then, it started to work. It took time, but I was able to get a few guests that were pretty decent. People started to take notice at that point. And then the fact that I continued to put episodes out, that's what got the most attention. It didn't even matter what they were. Just people were coming up to me saying, wow, I can't believe like you're still doing that. People said, oh, you decided to do it and you stuck to it. That was what garnered the most attention. And now this current version, this new incarnation or new podcast, I think was taken a lot more seriously by a lot of people. One, because I had done one before, and two, the guest roster I think is pretty solid. And, you know, I have obviously Ellis being a co-host is like instant credibility. So I think people are paying attention and it's been relatively positive.
And you
but didn't start that way.
Yeah. Well, no, that makes sense. And you believe in it. And that's funny you say that about your friends. I was out with some of my friends recently and one of them was telling some other guys that aren't in town here and it's like, did you know you had a podcast? And they were laughing. They're like saying, when are you going to start taking call-ins? Cause we can't wait to call in and start making fun of you. You know, you have fun with it and that's what friends do. And that's hard. And it's hard for people to put themselves out there, not necessarily because of the friend part of it. I'm, you know, just people in your industry, in the business, and maybe not for you or for me. Like once you start doing it, you do realize that it snowballs into a positive thing that you could just continue to put content out there and you really don't care what, let's call them the haters or someone who doesn't believe in it is going to say about it. You just keep doing it. But it is very difficult for people to make a Facebook post, put something on Instagram. And I'm talking about in the business sense, not in the personal sense, to create a podcast, to write an article, to do a video. I mean, these are difficult things to do. Did you have difficulty at the beginning or was it just something like, no, man, this is, I'm into this. I believe it. I'm talking about very beginning of this stuff. You know, if you were to put yourself in someone's shoes who's considering doing it right now, like what was that like for you and what would it be like for them and how did they get over it?
I had difficulty in the beginning, in the middle, and currently. I still have difficulty with it. I still worry about what goes out there. I don't want to say I obsess, but I'm pretty concerned about what am I saying and how am I saying it. Even though I know the idea is just push content. It's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily matter the quality. If you could see me, I was putting that in quotes. But I think it's tough to put yourself out there for anyone. And I'm relatively outgoing. I mean, I'm a trial lawyer, so I have to be. But, you know, when you put it out there on the internet, it's there forever. And you have to be, I try to be very careful. I'm not, you know, I try to be myself. I'm not one who likes to stir controversy, so I don't go down that road. And I'm not really here to offend people. You know, you see people who push content like that and it gets a lot of attention. That's not me. I just really want to be myself, but I always am nervous when I put out content, no matter what it is. And so I think the idea is, for me, I just sort of pushed the nervousness to the side and said, look, this is the future. So you're either going to be part of the future or you're not. It's just, do you want to be eaten up and be a dinosaur in 5 years? Or do you want to be ahead of the curve a little bit? And I don't think I'm that much ahead of the curve. I mean, podcasts are coming out now daily, like new ones. So, if you're on social media, you're using Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, I mean, Twitter, everyone's doing that, at least the people that understand. So I just said, look, I've got a long time in this business. You know, I'm only 43. So, you know, I'm going to practice law for a long time. I do some other stuff too. I better just do this for survival purposes. And that's kind of how I look at it is if you want to survive, you're going to have to do things that are uncomfortable. And I'm not as, I guess, uncomfortable with it as when I started. But I still always inside think, okay, I'm putting this out here. Wow.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
It's just,
well, and
it's
it doesn't always have to be comfortable. And we'll talk about like working out later, whatever that is. But if you want to have more endurance, well, you have to do the uncomfortable thing of running or getting on the elliptical or there is uncomfortable things to it. But you realize that I'll push that to the side because this is my goal, if that is your goal. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, that's fine. You don't have to participate in creating content, and your creation of content can be something totally different talking to the person that's out there that listening, if someone's listening, right? But it's the idea that that's the option, or don't do it. But if something changes and there's disruption in the business, well, I don't have to tell you, right? This was you had this opportunity, you had this option, and that's what's going on right now.
I'm thoroughly amazed at lawyers who just, I mean, it's everyone's individual choice. Don't misunderstand me. So, but the barrier to do this is nothing. It's free. So I am a little mystified at why someone wouldn't, even once a week, and that's about what I do, maybe once or twice a week, put something out there that just tells people who you are and what you do. I'm stunned that people don't want to do that, at least in the legal industry, because they are so stuck on the concept that lawyers should be seen but not heard. And, you know, you should get business through word of mouth referral. But this isn't 1955. I mean, so it's just not. It's not even 2000 anymore. The world is just different. And I try to point that out to people, that even some of your big white collar firms, you know, very traditional conservative firms, they actually kind of get it. I'm on social all day, and I see the top firms on social as well. So it's a little stunning to me when people say, well, that's just not what we do as an industry. That's a recipe for disaster. Ask the taxi cab drivers or hotel proprietors.
That's right. Or Blockbuster, yeah. Any of these other ones. No, you're 100%, you're 100% right. I want to go back on one thing you mentioned before. I said there's two things I want to touch on. We hit on one. The other one is the refinement. So you, I love this because we do this all the time. And you can over-refine, there's no doubt about it. But you had the podcast and you came back, you rebranded it, and you kind of changed it up a little bit. What was that process like? So when you, because people will say, well, I started down this road, so I have to continue down this road for me to change the brand, to change the logo, to change the messaging, whatever it is that you're changing. Sometimes people will just be like, I just won't do that. But you saw it as an opportunity.
Yeah.
I see it because why not? If you believe in it, yeah, then go and change it. Is that what it was? Was it an easy move for you? Were you worried that like, now I'm starting something different? How did that go?
It was an easy decision. It wasn't an easy process. When we finished the first podcast, which was just a straight up sports talk podcast, I think at least I was, I think everyone else was kind of tired of it. There was so much. We finished right after the Super Bowl. I think there was some varying viewpoints. You know, I was taking it very, very seriously, both on the production end and the content end. And I'm not sure it was as fun or as serious for some of the other people. So we decided to take a hiatus. And then during that hiatus, I kind of in my head decided, I really don't want to just talk about sports weekly anymore, because one, everyone else is doing that. There's a zillion of those. And two, I got some great advice from a gentleman, I'm going to say his name, Steve Nudelberg, who's a friend of mine and has sort of helped me with my career. I've known him a short time, but he's been a tremendous influence on me. And he and I sat down for coffee, and he said to me, he was very direct, and that's what I love about him. He said, look, he's like, it's cool that you do the podcast because not a lot of people do it. He's like, but there's no connection between what you do and your podcast. He's like, and frankly, Mike, everybody's doing it. There's a zillion sports talk shows. You're not differentiating yourself in any way. It's like, oh, that's a really good point. And I listened to Paul Rabel's Suiting Up podcast. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. And now he talks about the intersection between sports and business, but his guests are a little bit higher level than mine. Bill Belichick was his first guest. Drew Brees, Serena Williams. I mean, Dan Patrick, that level. So I kind of said, you know what? I'm not going to get those guests, but there's a market for some people that are doing really great things that aren't nationally known, but are still doing great things. I could do the same kind of thing, but on just a different scale. And so I talked with Ellis, who's an entrepreneur himself. I said, look, I really don't want to do the sports talk thing. Here's what I'm thinking. And he just jumped on it. He's like, this is awesome. I want to do it too. And then I just kind of thought of the name one day, and I hired someone to do a logo, and that was that. So yeah, it was sort of, I didn't want to do what I was doing before, and I had gotten advice that what I was doing before was nice, but it wasn't really going to change anything. And then once the rebrand happened and we did the first episode and, you know, went forward, all of a sudden people came out of the woodwork and said, oh, this is way better than what you were doing before, or more interesting, not better, more interesting. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. Game 7 podcast is definitely having the show notes. I love it. And Thanks. This is when we reconnected. I think I was on my way to Atlanta. I can't remember, one of the two. And I was like looking, and I was like, oh, I got to check out Mike's podcast. And I just loved it. And I'd recommend other people to listen to it. And I like the evolution of where you were and where you went. Like, you couldn't have gotten to this podcast without that first podcast. So that first podcast exactly. you had was extremely important. And then to have the honest feedback and to take honest feedback. And sometimes the honest feedback, you don't agree with it. You know the journey you're on and you're going to continue doing it. But this one, it made sense to you. So you went with it. That's important, you know, and those are the decisions that we're faced with as entrepreneurs every day. You can go in so many different directions. That's the beauty of it. But on the other side of it, that's the negative. I don't know if during this time, and I don't remember when it was, maybe a year and a half ago, you went up to New Jersey and you had this the big event at Gary Vaynerchuk's place, and it was a small setting. Yeah. You had a picture on your social media with him, and you and I yep. talked about him before, and he's so big now, you know, in many respects. And he's talking to people that have really struggled early on in their lives, and he's doing a lot of more motivational stuff. But his tactics, his strategies, his ideas, I think we believe a lot of what he's saying. Did that have any influence to say continue to create content? You truly yeah. feel like you're on your way to something and this is the right thing to do?
That's a great question. It was about a year. Yeah. About October last year, I did the Gary V event, and I like Gary V a lot. He was a big influence on me starting this, like, I guess, entrepreneurial journey, or at least treating my law practice as entrepreneurial and doing a podcast. And it was because of Gary V that when I thought about doing a podcast, I really didn't spend a lot of time researching. I just said, let's just go do it. Literally, like, bought some microphones and plugged them into a computer and recorded. And then I was like, oh, I got to change. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I got to upload to iTunes. I mean, it was all because of Gary V, who sort of said, don't think, just do. And yeah, when putting out content, I do reflect on his message, which is just put it out there and tell your story. That's what matters most. Don't freak out about the lighting or any of that other, you know, stuff. And although that does matter on Instagram in some ways, it doesn't in others. And so I'm a lot more comfortable putting stuff out based on his advice. And yeah, he's, you know, I still follow Gary V. I don't dive too deep into his content as much as I used to, because I think a lot of it, he sort of is repurposing, right? A lot of the same messaging, because he gets so many new people that listen to him that I think, you know, he has to continually repurpose a lot of the stuff that, if you've been following him for a year, you've kind of already heard, which is, you know, don't spend a lot of time thinking. You need to be a doer, that all that, you know, stuff. Tell your story online, be strategic. And, you know, if you have to pivot. And so, yeah, he's a huge influence. And I definitely go back to a lot of his original messaging, which helped me a tremendous amount and still does. Especially when I'm uncomfortable putting something out there.
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it's always good reminders. I think it's, you try to keep the right noises in your head, if that makes
yeah,
sense. Because you absolutely. Can start talking to yourself or listening to someone else. And if you have the people that you really believe and understand, if you keep that sound in your head, so that's what I do. And so I listen to all, he's not the only one. There's a lot of different people, yeah. but I keep that going just to remind myself or think, oh, I didn't think about that one before. And then this one, talk to me a different time today based on where I was or my mood or something else. So now I'm just interested if you continue to listen to it. I know it was, it had yeah. some influence in what you're doing. You've talked about just putting yourself out there and just putting stuff out there, and you are very strategic in what you are doing. In a lot of industries, there's compliance, and we always say the compliance nightmare, or yeah. you know, compliance is going to email you. And we're talking about the financial services industry, the legal industry, the anything related to that. And it's, you know, you have the medical industry and HIPAA and all this stuff. It's a concern for a lot of people. And I know in large companies, and we work on our insurance side of the business, we work with a lot of insurance companies, and they'll come sit down with us and they love the content we're creating. And they're like, listen, I wish we could do more of that, but we can only use their library of content, because if we say anything outside of that, we'll lose our job or we'll get fined or something will happen. So it's a big issue, and people are very concerned as to, I don't want to say the wrong thing and get in trouble, which is good, because you have people going very extreme and creating a lot of problems for people. As an attorney that is putting out content, how do you deal with the compliance the compliance nightmare, let's call it, as I said before?
Yeah. That's a great question. And it's not so much a nightmare for me. I think that's a misconception as to at least lawyers in the state of Florida. So lawyers are governed by their state bars, right? So every state has its own ethics rules. They generally are similar. you know, don't steal your client's money and, you know, all that fun stuff. But there are some specific rules on advertising in the state of Florida, and they've recently been modified to at least somewhat reflect the change in media, right? Social media, Facebook, Instagram, all those things. So I make sure to follow those rules. They really aren't difficult to follow. There's certain things I can't do. You know, I can't guarantee a result to someone. So I certainly couldn't post on LinkedIn and say, hey, I got this case dismissed. I'll get your case dismissed too. That's not allowed. That's a pretty basic rule. I can't solicit in a certain manner. So I'm very careful not to tell people, you know, call me and we'll talk about this. I'll always say, you know, it's best to consult your labor and employment counsel. I'll say to people, if you have questions, you can direct message me, which is very different than telling people, you know, I will help you, if that makes sense. Other than that, you can definitely push your personal brand, and you can offer value, sort of a Gary Vaynerchuk-ism there, you know, make sure you're offering value to people. So I could post about trending topics in labor and employment law, you know, what I see happening, I comment sometimes on big cases that are out there, things like that, or I put scenarios out there for people. I think I did a post on Instagram recently about questions you can and cannot ask in a job interview, and I put like a little funny picture to go with it. That's totally allowed. So there's really a lot that you can do. You just have to read the rules and be careful not to violate them, but they're not that restrictive. In terms of internal compliance, well, I'm very fortunate that my law firm has not really stopped me from doing anything. I think when I started this, I didn't ask permission. I just did it. I figured, well, I'll ask for forgiveness instead of permission if it's a problem. And they were grinning and baring their teeth a little bit, like, we're going to let him do it, but we're nervous. And I get that, because change is different, right? Where people naturally are afraid of change. And my law firm, there's a lot of my equity partners, or equity shareholders rather, who have been in this business 30 years. They don't care about Instagram or LinkedIn or any of those things. So they're kind of watching this and going, what's he doing? But then when they actually listened to the content, read the content, they realized, I think pretty quickly, that, oh, he's just pushing, you know, what he does and what we do and maybe why we're good at it and providing value to people in some way. So they've been really supportive, actually. We've had conversations. They've all been super positive, and they basically now kind of let me do what I want, because we built trust, and they know I'm not going to put some post up that's like politically on one side or offering these controversial opinions about these crazy issues that would implicate the law firm. So they're really good about it. I don't know what everyone else's situation would be, but I'm tremendously fortunate that my firm has, for the most part, let me do what I want, how I want, which is huge.
It is huge. And I think more firms eventually will get there, but it is tough because they have a lot of the legalese in all their contracts and things they can and cannot say. And they don't have to be a law firm. They could be, like I said, an insurance company or financial planning firm, and they have issues. But I think one of the things that you just mentioned is important is you don't have to talk like your friend, Steve Nudelberg, you said. Yeah. You were talking about something that had nothing to do with law, and now you're still not, but you're closer. So if a financial advisor were to create a podcast, they don't have to talk about the stock market, right? They don't have to talk about certain things. They can do, you know, hit the border, and they're still there. And oh, by the way, they already know, it's in your bio, that you're a financial advisor. You don't have to tell them, here, call me at this number. They know it. They go to your LinkedIn page. It says what you do. And all of a sudden, if I want to talk to you, I can say, I'd like to talk to you. And that's what I think people have a hard time with, because we see it on Facebook all the time. They have this good post, and at the end of it, it says, call me and I'll sell you something. And people are like, you just lost me right there.
That's right. Yeah, that's such a good point. I think people really appreciate if you're just genuinely giving them something, trying to help them out. So like without trying to sell them. So when I do a post gearing it towards, it's always towards business owners, because I represent businesses. And I'll say, look, here's what you can and can't do in a job interview. Make sure you go talk to your local labor and employment council to make sure you're doing the right things. I'm just telling them, here's a little bit of advice. It's not advice. I shouldn't say that, but here's just a little bit of information. Take it and go talk to your local lawyer if you think that there's a problem. You know, financial advisors, insurance. I mean, there's so much you can do that's not sales, and it's I guess this is Gary V too. It's not about sales. And I've explained that to people at my firm. It's not about a one-to-one transaction. I'm never looking at the one-to-one. Never. I could care less if I ever get a case out of anything that I do. What I'm looking at is to let people know what I do, let them know how I do it, and hopefully give them something, some value from whatever my content is. Hopefully they take something good away from it. And that's it. And if they need anything, they certainly can find me. But I'm not pushing a one-to-one sale ever. It's really about the overall personal brand. And I think over time, that's going to win out over the people that are hunting, you know, one sale at a time. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes total sense, because in our marketing business, at Cat CM, when we talk to our clients about this, it's interesting to watch them change over time, because they'll come in and they're like, I want to buy Google Ads and I want someone to click on it and I want them to call me and I want the business right then and there. And I'm not saying you can't do that and can't have success. Do that. But those are like the short-term wins. We're talking way bigger here. And wait till it happens. Wait until you create a good piece of content on Instagram and people follow it and they've seen you, they've heard you on a podcast, they saw a sign for you, they saw, and then all of a sudden there's an Instagram post and there's some comments and they really liked it. And then they say, I would love to talk to you. We've seen that happen. And it, when you see the business owner's face, they're like, wow, so this thing actually works. And it wasn't even about the sale, because the trust now has been built, right? Now they know who you are, you've built the trust, and now they want to talk to you. So we see this all the time. So everything that you're saying, I mean, you're preaching to the choir, and this is, it's not trying to convince someone of it, because we always say, listen, I'm not here to convince you that this is the way to do it. If you want to hear our thesis and our thoughts around it, absolutely, we will share that with you. But this is, it's not for everyone. And if you're not ready for it, don't do it. If you're not willing to put yourself out there and create unique content and be a little bit different, maybe you shouldn't do it yet. But absolutely, like on the marketing side, we see this all the time, and it's, we've seen it in our own business. I mean, I talked about before, like we started as an insurance company, and I realized no one wants to talk about insurance, but they will talk about the content that we're creating, the sports, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, what are you doing? We're creating content for our business. And they're like, well, that's interesting. Oh, by the way, you sell insurance. Okay, it's great. But then it became, well, you're creating this content and you're doing all this marketing for yourself. Can you do that for us? And that was fascinating. Yeah. And then it became proof of concept. And more people came. And that's how the marketing business developed. So you don't even know what are the different things that you can create, because these industries are getting disrupted. The legal industry is getting disrupted. The insurance industry, the accounting industry, there's software that they're creating. There's all these different things that are happening. So we're looking out to say to business owners, what are you going to do if you're a Blockbuster and Netflix comes around? Why didn't you think of those ideas? You could have had that, right? Or you mentioned before, you know, Airbnb, you know, whatever that might be. So anyway, what you're saying is true. And the reason I'm talking so much about it right now is because we've seen it play out for many business owners.
Yeah. And it's amazing in the law industry, when I talk to other lawyers who don't do this kind of marketing, the question always is, well, how many cases have you gotten from that? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten that question. And my response is the same. Is I say, I don't know. I have no idea how many I've gotten, and I don't care. It's not about that. That is sort of the old, I think, I don't want to say it's the old school way, but it's a very, I think, short-sighted view. And so I figure I've got another 25 years, God willing, right, of working hard and doing this. And I love what I do. So I hope I have another 25 years, because in my view, I'm in the best area of law. It's just so much fun every day. And the law firm that I'm with really helps make it like that. It truly is as entrepreneurial as it could be, but I also have the backing of a firm. I don't care about the one-to-one. I don't want to say that I don't care, but I mean, I have relationships that have been built and people in the community know who I am. So I'm comfortable that by putting out content, whether it's labor and employment tips and information, or pushing the podcast and interviewing successful people in various industries, or posting a little bit about Brady and the Patriots, or even humanizing things and posting about my dog who's sitting here, you know, bugging me right now. Over the long haul, that's what's going to win, and that's what gets attention. And I do say to people, look, when I was practicing law, I've been doing this almost 17 years. So it'll be 17 years in October. The first 14 and a half, let's say, nobody ever knew what I did. unless I like went to an event and talked to people, and that really didn't work too well for me. But in terms of being out in the community, out and about in Fort Lauderdale or Miami, people that I were acquaintances never knew what I did. As soon as I started pushing content and as soon as I started putting myself out there consistently, the response was, it was a total 180. And people were coming up to me, oh my God, I had no idea that you did A, B, C, or D. I had no idea you could do this. Oh, I had no idea you went to trial. You know, I was preparing for a trial probably 4 months ago, and I was like late at night, and I posted a picture and put it on LinkedIn and sort of talked about how trials are won behind the scenes, all the preparation. And all of a sudden the trial ends and I come back and I was out with friends on a Friday night, and like five people come up to me and say, hey, I had no idea that you actually went to trial. I thought you sat in an office all day. Now, those people didn't hand me a file right then and there, but that's five people that, you know, that clearly took note that never would have known had I not put that post up. That's, to me, that's the value. So those people, if they have something come up down the road, I tend to think that they'll email me or pick up the phone, or they at least know that I'm there. That's the point.
Yep, that is the point. And it isn't, it's like you should tend to think, because that is the way it happens. And it doesn't, maybe it's not for everybody. Maybe some people, I don't like that. Okay, because you're not going to please everyone. And how many clients can you have? Because you do like, you're talking about the one-to-one sale online, or you're like, hey, call me up, this or that. You're the one-on-one guy that will talk to that one person that says, now tell me more about what you do. Now you take that thing that supposedly doesn't scale. That is the thing that's going to build your brand. That is going to build your business. And I mean, that's why it was so important to say, I have to have you on this podcast again. It's funny too, because you're talking about attorneys or someone else, how many clients did you get from that? And it's interesting to see what other people's reaction are. And I'll let you talk about this. Wasn't there a publication in Florida that was kind of talking to a lot of different attorneys? And how are they getting business? How are you networking? And then you kind of tell them, I'm doing a podcast. And they're like, wait, what?
Yes. Yeah. It was the Daily Business Review in Miami. And I have to thank I have a PR firm, Duray and Company. The woman who runs it, Duray Ross, has worked miracles for me. And her and I have had these conversations, like what we're talking about, for hours about branding and, you know, look, getting those opportunities, you know, you need someone in the know. And so we use them and they will get us these interviews. And this sort of started as, hey, a reporter from the DBR, the Daily Business Review in Miami, who published as law.com. They want to talk to a few different lawyers, small to mid-sized firms, how you keep and retain government clients. I was like, yeah, we could do that. And I get on the phone and the reporter's telling me about, you know, she's talked to a few other people and she's like, do you go to marketing events, bar events? I was like, I don't really do that stuff. She was like, well, what do you do? I was like, well, I do a podcast. And she was like, what do you mean you do a podcast? I was like, yeah, I do this podcast. This is what it's called. And it's with Ellis Hobbs from the Patriots. She's like, ooh, tell me about that. And so we talked about that. And then I told her about Instagram and LinkedIn. And we had a long dialogue about all those various things. And the interview went much longer than I thought it would. And then maybe like a week later, I get an email from the reporter asking for a photo of me at the Super Bowl, because I had told her I went to Super Bowl 52. I said, yeah, sure. And so I sent the photo. And then sure enough, on a Monday morning, the story runs. And it's front page in the DBR, which from a local standpoint, so Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, that's huge for me. And the cover, I think the title was How to Keep and Retain Government Clients. How about starting a sports podcast? And to me, that was, I just felt good in a way, I guess, because I was like, ah, see, someone, she gets it, you know, and it just showed that you can put yourself out there and push content that may not be directly related to what you're doing, but it's going to help you build your brand and ultimately result in more business. And that's probably the best for all the 2.5 or 3 years that I've been doing, all the content that I put out, you know, it was totally worth it to get that article. I mean, to get front page, that's free media. And all of this is free, you know, other than, you know, paying our PR people to get us the opportunity, but that's like 0.001% of the cost of the free media that we get out of it. And I got such a great response from that. I got a lot of calls from other lawyers saying, what do you mean you do a podcast? And I was like, yeah, I do. And I'm happy to talk to them. I don't think that there's any secrets here. You know, I've had a number of different lawyers, not competitors, but in other fields, asked me to have coffee with them and discuss my social media strategy, and I'm happy to do it because there's no barrier to this. So me holding back isn't going to help. And I'm a big believer, again, another Gary Vaynerchuk-ism, you know, big believer in, you know, kindness and empathy and helping people is going to help you win over the long haul. So, yeah, it was a huge, huge win for me. I'm super thrilled about it. And I was really excited that the reporter kind of got it. I mean, she could have gone the other way with that story. And she went totally positive, and I'm so grateful that they did that. It was really helpful.
No, it's a big moment, not only just business brand wise and all that, but for yourself to be like, wow, this is working. What I'm seeing, other people are seeing it, and that's a proud moment, and you should enjoy that. And it is, I do think podcasting is one, I always talk about the truest form of content marketing. Like the opposite of that is posting something and then asking, and then saying like, buy this or call me. That's not the truest form of content marketing. Truest form is just talking and not asking for anything in return. When you're on a podcast, you're sharing ideas and thoughts, and whether they're good thoughts or ideas, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that you are trying to put something out there, and anyone can take it. And so by that nature that you have of wanting to help. So if another attorney calls you up, you're like, can you help me out with this? And what bike should I buy? And how do I do this? And what should I, you'll talk to them. And that's what podcasting, I feel like there's a community of that, and I think it's really great to see. And that's why we want to talk to people like yourself that are doing this and that are helping other people also create good content, because I believe we need more small business owners, more salespeople, more everybody, if it's good in quality and they're spending a little bit of time with it, creating unique content about their story, not just regurgitating what everyone else says, because there's a lot of that too. So it goes, you know, there's the pros and the cons of it, just like anything else. But we need more of that.
You brought up a really great point when you said, you know, telling their story and not just regurgitating. And that's the key, right? If you get someone on your podcast and they tell their story, and they're not going to be regurgitating because they're telling something that's personal to them. That's such a good point. I just heard you say that. I was like, oh, that's the key right there. If you're telling your story, it's unique automatically because it's you. That makes any sense. And, you know, I just had a buddy of mine who's a strength and conditioning coach in North Carolina on the podcast, because he had a great story about selling a business and moving to France and then coming back. And, you know, he had never done a podcast, didn't know much about it. And then since we pushed his episode, he's been texting me. He's like, oh my God. He's like, I'm getting so much feedback from the podcast, all these people coming out of the woodwork. He's like, I love it. Let's do it again. And, I think that's important to show people how powerful this medium is, especially since it's a very passive way for people to consume the content, right? Like I consume podcasts when I'm driving, when I'm cooking, hanging around the house. And I think a lot of people do that. So you're reaching people when you otherwise wouldn't be able to under normal marketing circumstances, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's when I started this business, it's 5.5, 6 years almost. Before that, when I started really reading a lot and taking it serious, I also got into podcasts and I just listened to them and then built up and had so many, and I just loved it. And it was like, first of all, it was the right noise in my head that I needed, but it was also all these different ideas and thoughts and ways to think about. And then you go down these rabbit holes and you learn about new books to read, right? Or new podcasts to listen to.
Yeah.
And then when it came out, I'm like, wait a second. So we could do this here. And it worked for me. Because of all the things you talk about, I had young kids at the time, so I could take them on a walk and put one in the stroller and just listen to my podcast. I could work out. I could do something in the yard. I can get in my car when I'm traveling in a business, whatever that is. I realized how good it was, and I thought that if it was good enough for me, then I think it could be good enough for other people as well. And so it's like you're talking about before, like what is the truest way that you can put your thoughts out there to maybe make new relationships, as opposed to having to show up, like you said, to a networking event that might not be the best use of your time. And it's talked about often that those aren't the best uses of time, always. Anyway.
No, yeah, they're not.
So it is early still, like you said. There are a lot out there. There's podcasts starting all the time now, but good ones rise, and it depends. Like, are you monetizing your podcast and do you need thousands or millions of people to listen to it? Or if one person hears it, could that make all the difference? And I think a lot of times people get caught up in the vanity metrics. How many people are listening to your podcast? Well, you know, and those analytics are way off right now anyway, in many respects. and they talk about it, but aren't we looking for the right people to look at it or listen to it, I should say? That's more important to me. It's like you said, if one person says, Meg, I didn't know you were a trial lawyer, and no one else heard it, well, maybe that's the person that needed to hear it, and that's going to help you the most.
I mean, that's another great point. I used to get caught up in those metrics, and then I researched the metrics and realized no one really knows who's listening, because they have no way of tracking if your number of plays is unique people versus someone who started listening to it and then picked it back up. And then I realized it doesn't matter if I have 10,000 plays or 110 or 50. What matters is that someone, one person, took the time to listen to what I'm talking about. That's enough. Just one. That's all that matters. It really is. And as long as I'm comfortable with what's getting put out there, and my co-host is comfortable, and the guest is happy, and we all like what we're doing, and we're having fun with it, that's what matters. I guess another sort of Vaynerchuk-ism is, you know, don't get caught up in the likes and the follows. And that's true. And it's easy to get caught up in that. I do that. I've posted stuff and I'm like, God, this didn't really get a lot of attention. And then I realized, it doesn't matter. I mean, it just doesn't matter. Ultimately, if you're reaching people and you're happy with what you're putting out there, and if one person's paying attention, that's better than no one.
That's right. That's it. Well, the good news is I am listening to your podcast. So you do have that one person. So keep producing it. I will keep listening to it.
I listen to yours as well.
Well, we appreciate that likewise. So, no, it's good stuff, man. And I appreciate you spending some time with us. I think the first time you're on here, we did this little quick questions. We probably had more of them. We've honed in on our questions, and there's a few questions I want to ask you. So I'm going to hop right into it right now. I might know the answer to this first one, but if you weren't an attorney, what career would you be in?
I would have been trying to work with some team in sports.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you which sport or what team, but I would have geared towards that.
You would have gotten into the sports business. Okay.
Yeah.
We touched on this earlier. We talked about Brady. He said he's the best quarterback ever. And Brady is, he's in his early, how old is he now? Early 40s?
41. 41. 41. Yeah.
Kraft, Brady, Belichick. There's tons of media stuff out there. I don't listen to it all. I promise you, because I don't buy it all. But at some point, he can't play forever. I don't know. Maybe he'll be 55 and he'll still be winning Super Bowls for all I know, and knowing the Bills' luck. The Kraft, Brady, Belichick era, when do you think that it comes to an end?
2020.
Okay.
That season, that 2020-21 season.
Okay.
So we're going to go.
So it's like 18. Midway through the year, week 8, like they blow up and they're kidding.
I think they're going to go, this is 18-19, right? So that's one. Then 19-20 will be two, and Brady's contract will be up. I think they'll bring him back another year, and that'll be the end. And he'll be 42. He'll be close to 45 at that point. Right around the board.
So is that two years or 3 years? Including this season. So we have this year, next year, and the year after. So it'd be three seasons. Okay. At the end of that season. Okay. I'm gonna mark it. I will call you at the end of that season. And I'm gonna he didn't leave. Where is he? Yeah. Hopefully Josh Allen is going into his prime. I don't know what the Bills are doing. But does Belichick stay at that point, or is he gonna leave too?
I think he stays a couple more. Maybe one or two.
Do you regret Garoppolo being traded, or are you okay with it?
I'm okay with it. I would have loved for them to keep Jimmy G. They just simply couldn't. If they had franchised him, he wasn't going to sign a long-term deal. Don Yee, his agent, made that very clear. They asked him, will you sign a bridge deal? And he said no. So I'm not sure what else people expected them to do. If they had franchised him, he would have been paid like around $30 million. And then they would have had to gut the rest of the roster. That wasn't going to happen. That doesn't make any sense. And I'm okay with, given Brady's performance and at least what we saw week one, I think that's going to continue. And we saw Jimmy G. Now it was against the Vikings, but it didn't look great. I think they did what they had to do there. I understand you let players go a year early versus 1 year too late, but I don't think Brady's a year early. I mean, he won the MVP last year and had the greatest performance in the history of a Super Bowl. Sans one strip sack. So I'm okay with the Jimmy G situation. I wish they could have worked it out. And I think the Patriots did what they were supposed to do. Try to get him to sign a bridge deal. He wouldn't do it. What else are they going to do?
That's right. Well, I think people freaked out too because Garoppolo was so good at the end of last year. But it's different. You come in late in the year, that you have nothing to lose. You're playing for nothing, right? And you're basically playing to set up for next season. And they're like, wow, he was unbelievable. Well, like, he's a possible MVP candidate this year. Like, people are way jumping to conclusions right now. And like you just said, Minnesota's a great defense. So, well, the jury's still out. How about that?
Yeah. Well, the Patriots did the right thing. I mean, they drafted Jimmy when Brady was 36, 37. And they had no idea that Brady would still be at this level at 40. And who would have? I know Brady said he would, but I think the team was smart when it said, yeah, he says he's going to be at this level, but so does every other athlete. The plan would have worked if Brady had tailed off. If his performance had dropped, I think they would have let Brady go. But it went the opposite way. He got better. And that's not the Patriots' fault. He just saw this kid Jimmy coming in and said, oh, no, that's just not going to happen. So the team did the right thing, I think, all the way through. So.
Well, maybe that was their master plan, to get a quarterback to come in and push that guy. You know, we see it all the time.
Sure, absolutely.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Not at all.
So you've talked a lot about social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, maybe Snapchat. You've even mentioned today for business. What is your favorite social media app?
My favorite is Instagram. That's my favorite. But I use LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm working with Snapchat. I probably need to work on it more. And I use Twitter, but Instagram is my favorite. I'm not sure I get the most interaction on it, but it's
right.
My favorite.
But it's your favorite. No, that makes sense. Okay. All right. So we know you work out.
Yep.
I want to know, and I don't know if you vary on your first podcast, and forgive me, I don't have the name in front of me. Who was your guest on the podcast who's doing CrossFit, if I'm not mistaken?
The first one was Kate Kennedy.
Yes. All right. So yeah. That's an awesome.
Great story.
Yeah, it is a great story. And we're going to talk about working out. Do you have a workout routine?
Yes. My hobby is Olympic weightlifting, competitive Olympic weightlifting. So I have a coach, Pablo. I never can pronounce Pablo's last name, but he's a Olympic weightlifting coach from Cuba. He coaches out of CrossFit Fort Lauderdale, or locally we call it CrossFit Muscle Farm. So Pablo programs for me. In fact, I'm competing at the end of this month in Miami. So yeah, I follow an Olympic weightlifting program, and then I do some CrossFit as like metabolic conditioning, just to keep moving and, you know, make sure I can still breathe and stuff like that. So I have a pretty strict routine.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, you have a lot going on between your career, your legal career, your podcasting and content creation, and competing in weightlifting. So I'm sure you keep to a bit, and your dog, who needs a lot of attention.
who's beside herself right now.
Yes, yeah, right.
Actually holding her collar because she keeps trying to like jump on me.
Yes, right. Like, she what gets are very we doing obsessed. Next? Yeah. Yes. I love it. Well, Mike, I want you to answer this last question, and then we'll get into the conclusion here. But when was the moment you told yourself that you need to make it happen and you gave yourself no excuses?
It was probably somewhere in 2015. I don't have an exact date, but I did wake up and I said, I just remember thinking, you know, I'm practicing law and that's great, but there's got to be more that I can be doing. It just doesn't feel right. And I just said, you know, I got to start doing some different things. And I had like ideas, but I didn't know what to do with them. It wasn't a specific thing. I just know somewhere in 15, I woke up and said, you got to do something different. I loved my job. I still love my job. I love my career. It wasn't a dissatisfaction. It just was, there's got to be a better way to build my career, to build what I'm doing. And that's sort of when I started listening to people like Tim Ferriss and Gary Vaynerchuk and some Tony Robbins here and there, and, you know, Paul Rabel and those types of people who make things happen. I was like, I could do that stuff too. So,
yeah, no, I love that one because it's around the theme of what we're talking about today. So I appreciate you sharing that honest story. It's important. And I think a lot of people are going through those dilemmas. We see business owners come into our office or we go meet with them at their office, and they're all talking about similar things. They know what they need to do. They think about it. They're having hard times with it. And I hope this conversation we had helps someone out there and think through it. And maybe it's not the answer for them, and that's okay too. It's not for everybody, but it gets them thinking differently about what is out there. And like you said, there is no middle person. There's no barrier to entry. You can do it however you want to do it.
I don't I don't think there's a one size fits all approach to any of this. The only thing I would say that for any business owner or anybody who's in a career, the one thing that I think does fit all is try to think outside of the norm or outside of your sphere or your box. Just think, try to think differently and take a chance on doing something different as opposed to what's always been done. How you do that, that's not one size fits all. That could be any number of things.
That's well said. And I think that was important too. Mike, thanks. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
You can get me on Instagram, of course. It's at Melkins1. My Twitter is Melkins31175. And email is Melkins@BMichaelOOscar.com.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate the time that you spent with us talking about the Patriots, talking about why you started a podcast, and just all the good things that you have going on. I really do appreciate the time and everything else. So, man, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me again. We have to reverse this, though. You've got to come on my podcast so we can let's do it.
We can talk the Buffalo Bills on that one. That'll be exciting. We're going into week 2 right now. When the time this thing comes out, I guess Josh Allen will have made his first start. I don't know. We'll see what happens, right?
Well, next year you have a lot of cap space.
They do. The Bill and a lot of other teams do as well. So there's hope. There's hope down the road. But just the whole Peterman thing rubs me wrong. I don't think he was NFL ready. We've been on Twitter and have conversations about this. Just the fact that they put themselves in the situation 2 times, once last year and once now this year, to think that he was starter worthy in this league, and maybe one day he will prove us all wrong, and I'm all for that. But at this point, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that could be a McDermott issue. But let's save it for when we reverse this, have you on
got
the
it.
Podcast.
Yeah, I won't say anything more.
Want to learn about the insurance industry and how you guys are disrupting too. I'm excited to hear that.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thank you again.
Thank you very much. Lots of fun.
Mike, it has been absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. Thank you for helping our listeners understand why someone in a professional services business would start a podcast. The perspectives from Michael on putting himself out there are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, Michael, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to Mike about his podcast or legal background, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram @Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our CazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of CazCM, the content marketing business inside CazSource Inc. CazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at CazSource to you. Learn more by visiting CazCM.com. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.